Well, today we are talking about creating spaces to grow as an intercultural church, creating spaces to grow. And I'd like to begin this morning by sharing with you one of my favorite poems, and it's by a lady named Judy Brown. Yes, this sermon has a poem in 3 points. I'll try to expand on it. But let's start with this poem entitled Fire. Fire. What makes a fire burn is space between the logs, a breathing space. Too much of a good thing, too many logs packed in too tightly can douse the flames almost as surely as a pail of water would. So building fires requires attention to the spaces in between as much as to the wood. When we are able to build open spaces in the same way we have learned to pile on the logs, then we can come to see how it is fuel and the absence of fuel together that make the fire possible. We only need to lay a log lightly from time to time. A fire grows simply because the space is there with openings in which the flame that knows just how it wants to burn can find a way. Well, today, as we conclude our intercultural sermon series, we are going to talk about how do we create space to grow as an intercultural church by working at eliminating things like the sin of racism that suffocates the shalom peace of God and His people. Pastors Jamal and Nelson joined me, and we participated in a conference last week called Beyond Multiculturalism. And if we want to grow as an intercultural church, one of the first spaces that we need to create is spaces to listen. And as we were listening to the different speakers in that conference, it was fascinating to hear how God is moving in Canadian churches across cultural and racial barriers as Christ people learn the simple practice of creating space to listen to each other, to listen to one another. Well, Vania Levins is a pastor at Marine View Chapel Christian Community Church in Vancouver, British Columbia, and she shared at the conference about how about the importance of the local churches giving people space where their voice can be heard and listened to, and that's what we've been trying to do through these interviews, through this sermon series. Vania grew up as a visible minority in Ottawa, and has a French and African heritage people, before her pastorate in Vancouver, she was working at a shelter for new immigrants and refugees arriving in Canada. And one of the families that she was serving was a Latin American family with a single mom and 4 boys. So it was game on for mom. Vania speaks both French and English, and one day one of the boys came to talk to her about just how particular difficult day at school, young boy, and he began speaking to her in Spanish, but because there's some similarities between French and Spanish, she could understand bits and pieces of what seemed to be troubling him. So she listened intently, and then she was just trying to understand what is troubling this young Spanish boy. So at one point in the conversation, she just finally couldn't follow him any longer. And so she just gently smiled and said, "No entiendo," which means in Spanish, "I don't understand." So the next day, the boy returns to her after school again, and he begins talking to her in Spanish. And she's lovingly listening to him for about 10 minutes. And just before Vania could say it, the boy lights up with a big smile. He goes, "No entiendo." And she nods with her head approvingly and smiles, "Yes, no entiendo." And they both had a good laugh together. Vania had validated this boy because she knew that even though he wasn't fully or sorry, he knew that he, even though he wasn't fully understood because of their language barrier, he still had been lovingly given a space where he felt like he was listened to. So important for us in our conversations with people here in the church and just in general, that we learn to listen, that we learn to ask people questions, that we don't dominate conversations, that we just always one-up everybody with our story and with our great thoughts. And it's better that we learn to listen to one another and we express the love of Christ and community of Christ to one another by listening intently to each other. So if we're going to grow up into a life-giving intercultural church that validates multiple cultures and multiple ethnicities, then one of the places we need to start creating spaces is of freedom, is for each other, is that we learn to listen to one another. I'd love to start working with translators and with people who are technically inclined so that we could start to translate the sermons that are in English and translate them into different languages and through the translator and using a smartphone app so people could listen in during the worship service, the translation coming through that app. And so I'm trusting God that we will move to that place. There's a way, practically speaking, that we can help create space for one another to grow. Well, the second space that I want to talk about that we need to work on creating here at Still Heights in our church, if we want to grow into an intercultural church, is the spaces for truth and reconciliation. Jesus was speaking to some Jewish followers of his that were believing in him as the Messiah, and he said that then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Unless there's truth, we can't get to true reconciliation. As we continue to grow into a unified intercultural church, we will inevitably need to trust the Holy Spirit as He leads us into these uncomfortable spaces of truth and reconciliation. Dr. Sam Owusu is the founding pastor of Vancouver's Calvary Worship Center, which is an international church comprised of over 85 nations. And he states quite unashamedly, who said that the church is supposed to be comfortable? Jesus calls us into a courageous walk, which leads us into the uncomfortable spaces where we need to confess, where we need to forgive, where we need to humbly love and listen to one another. End of quote. Well, the Greek word for church is ecclesia, and which means God's called out ones. God has separated us for himself. God has separated us for himself, a people who are in the world, but not of this world. A new society. A new humanity. Followers of Jesus, and we're called to be, as followers of Jesus, we're called to be an intercultural community. We're intercultural citizens of a countercultural kingdom known as the kingdom of God. We are seeing a lot of pain and anger in Western society right now due to racial unrest. We're seeing it through things like movements like Black Lives Matter. And in the CBC News this past week, we learned of the possible, very possible discovery of the remains of hundreds of Indigenous children on the former grounds of a residential school in Kamloops. Anthropologists and provincial authorities are still confirming this finding, but it could prove to be another horrific example of a legacy of murder and racism that many First Nation Canadians have suffered through. Generational sins such as these, and they're not just unique to Canada, and sadly, because of the power and force of sin and the evil one, this is a tale that is common throughout history and throughout nations. And these generational sins such as these, they're a painful reminder of these invisible walls of injustice that still separate us today as a nation. Just like when Cain murdered his brother Abel in Genesis, we read about that in Genesis 4:10, God said to Cain, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground." Our God is a God of justice and mercy. Some of you have immigrated to Canada from other countries, and you endured pain, the pain of war and murder and hatred and true displacement. And it's my hope as a pastor that your church here at your church family here at Still Heights will be a safe place where you can raise up your children, just as we prayed for two of our families and their children, that they be a safe place and you can find healing, that you can find restoration, that you can find a place to grow, a space to grow in the fullness of your calling that you received in Christ, just as Pastor Jamal prayed for us earlier. We pray that this would be a place where God's Spirit moves and supports you. So by the Holy Spirit's leading, the church needs to model to society what it means to wade into these uncomfortable but healing spaces of truth, of race, of power, and the gospel. And all these intersect. Where these intersect, that's where the church needs to be, because that's where the gospel comes alive and the power of Christ and his teachings and the power of Christ and his presence have the power to transform lives. If we're not willing to go into those difficult, uncomfortable spaces, then we're kind of kicking the tires around the periphery of a religious establishment. And we're not really truly embracing the full impact of the gospel. And so by God's leading, he'll make it known to us what our role is in this, creating space for truth and reconciliation for a church such as ours. And so then we can enter into that intersection point, and then we can have dialogue, that we can have meaningful dialogue, and that regardless of our cultural heritages, we can come together in Christ. If we fail to enter into this space of truth and reconciliation, and I may add matters of justice, then we'll only experience a false kind of harmony, a false harmony, instead of possessing and modeling that true shalom peace of God's kingdom here at Still Heights. Well, lastly, not only do we need to create spaces for listening to one another, not only do we need to create spaces for truth and reconciliation, but we need to create spaces for diversity. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, he gives this incredible metaphor of the body of Christ being like a human body, with Christ being the head. And he conveys through this, this teaching is on spiritual gifts, but he's referring to the diversity of the body of Christ. And so I think there is very real application here in terms of our diversity of our ethnicity and our stations of life as well. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Well, these are radical words written by the Apostle Paul to the first century church gathered at Corinth. And nowhere else in the Roman Greco world was there such a diverse assembly of people from a socioeconomics, different stations of life, different ethnic backgrounds, who met together as brothers and sisters in Christ, all made equal in value as image bearers of Christ and God, and regardless of their color, of their skin, their gender, or their position in society. The church was radically diverse, yet unified by the common bond and the common command of Jesus to love and serve one another just as he modeled for his followers. And in Paul's metaphor, the church functions as a body with Christ as the head, and he just poetically describes how all the diverse parts are important for the overall functioning of the body. There's no expendable or disposable parts. Folks, we need each other. We all have special gifts of grace from the Holy Spirit that are integrated into our very identity. And as believers, we come together and we serve together. And the building up of the body of Christ occurs as each part does its work in love. Always in love. I remember once I had some plantar warts removed from my right foot. Unfortunately, they came back. But because these stubborn warts were rooted so deep in the bottom of my foot, the doctor thought it would be best to cut them out. Now, why didn't I stop her right there? Why didn't I just say, is that my only option? Anyways, we went ahead with this day surgery. It was pretty minor surgery, really. But she had needed to freeze my foot, and then she cut out the warts. And then for several hours after the operation, I was walking around, and my foot, I just felt like a stump down there. It felt like my foot had left my body, and it was really hard to walk, you know? I felt like Captain Jack off of some pirate ship who's lost his leg in the battle. And eventually the feeling came back, and I was so happy that and my whole body kind of breathed a sigh of relief. And you know, the body of Christ, we need each other. And no one part is more important than the other. And as Paul, as you read through the entire metaphor of 1 Corinthians 12, he just, you know, things like the eye shouldn't say to the ear, I don't need you, right? Or the whole body isn't just an eye. And things like that, God has purposely made us into a diverse group so that the Holy Spirit can be manifested in through the different parts, the different gifts. And as I've been saying through this entire series, that the gospel, we see the fullest expression of the gospel as it is lived out in an intercultural context in through the nations. For after all, that was the intention from the very beginning, that the gospel would, it was intended for the nations and not just one particular culture. If we truly want to grow in maturity as a church, we need to create space for diversity. And sometimes that begins by just realizing that it's okay to have different perspectives and different ideas while we share a common goal to see Christ glorified and the gospel proclaimed. And it's okay to admit to one another, you know what, we're going to make some unintentional mistakes along the way. It's going to happen. For instance, back in April, I was at an outdoor birthday party at my Asian friend's house. As I was in conversation with him, his brother, and another white guy, we began talking about sports, which ones we like to participate in. And well, I knew that my friend and his brother at one time had owned a karate studio. So I asked my friend's brother, hey, you must know karate, right? Then my Asian friend saw a chance to tease me, and he said, that's a pretty racist thing to say, Darren. And I thought he was like serious or something. So, but he was inside, he was killing himself trying not to laugh. And it was several weeks after that we finally had a conversation about the incident, and I just told him I was sorry. He goes, no, I'm sorry. Darren, I knew that you knew that we had this karate studio. I knew what you were talking about. And so he apologized for teasing me about my gaffe, and we both had a good laugh. about my gaffe. So sadly, though, in this hypersensitive cancel culture, it seems that we can't even have a good-hearted laugh together about our differences, not at the expense of one another, but just sometimes we just need just to have some fun and joy and laugh about things and how God has made us different and celebrate it. When we create space for discovery and diversity, we see a fuller expression of what the gospel of Jesus really means and looks like. Every culture has things that we can celebrate, and every culture has things that need to be surrendered at the cross of Christ for the sake of the gospel, just as Jared and I were talking about in the interview. Folks, I believe that God is moving here at Still Heights. I believe that He is moving us to a place where we can say together with the Apostle Paul, I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings, because the gospel brings blessings. It brings transformation. And the gospel is all about the good news about Jesus coming to an earth that was lost in sin, that He was born as a man, yet the God-man. He lived a life, a sinless life. He taught us the things of the kingdom of God. He died on the cross for our sins. He was dead and buried, but was raised by the power of God from the dead on the third day, and He ascended to the Father and sits at the right hand of our Father as the Son of God, who He has always been and will always be. And one day He will come back to this earth for His church, and we will experience the resurrection and will be given glorious resurrection bodies just like Christ. And we will dwell with Him and He will dwell with us for eternity. That is the gospel. And by faith in Christ, when we confess our sins and come to Him as our Lord and Savior, we are given the Holy Spirit and the gift of eternal life. This is the good news. This is the grace of God. And this is the gospel that we proclaim. And I believe God is moving, and that we need to trust Him to create spaces, to create Still Heights, create in Still Heights a spacious place to grow. Well, in Psalm 18, which is an amazing psalm, we learn about how David, King David, now this is before he was king, he was on the flee from his enemies and from the hand of King Saul, who hated him, saw him as a threat, and wanted to murder him. And so David is constantly on the move. He's been displaced from his home, and he's on the move, and he's in the backcountry of the Judean wilderness, and he's living in, he's climbing on crags and living in caves, and he's always on the run, and he's looking over his shoulder. He never knows when he's going to be ambushed by Saul and his men. And then finally, we see in this psalm, he just calls out to the Lord in desperation. Come rescue me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who are what? David says, they're too strong for me, God. I can't defeat these foes on my own. And he came to God in complete dependency. And then we hear David, his heart, and he says, they confronted me, his enemies, in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. What are you going through right now in your life? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do your enemies seem too strong? Does life circumstances seem overwhelming? The Lord is your support. And if you call upon Him and truly seek for Him, I believe that He will show Himself mighty, just as He showed Himself mighty to David. And so David calls out and he says that the Lord rescued me because He delighted in me. He brought me out into a what? A spacious place. He brought me out to a spacious place, one where I didn't have to live in fear, one where I didn't have to live in want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, said David in Psalm 23. A spacious place, a place of grace, a place of that green, green grass of grace where we can lie down and rest in God. That's the place that the gospel creates. That's the kind of space I believe that God wants to create here, a place of grace, of truth. Oh, may the Holy Spirit, Still Heights, come and just come like a refiner's fire and consume the enemy of racism in our church, in our lives, and even in our nation. God can do it, and I believe that the church has a big role in this, here at the local level and even at the national level. Oh God, send your refiner's fire. Burn up the racism, Lord. May you create for us spaces to listen, spaces of truth and reconciliation, spaces for discovery and diversity. God, make us a spacious place where we can grow and we can be built up in love as each part does its work together for Christ and the glory of his name. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. And we ask God, we say, send your Holy Spirit, fresh fire, fresh wind, God, create the spaces within us. Burn up the sin, Lord. Burn up the bigotry, the prejudice, the racism, Lord. Burn it up by your holy fire. And Lord, lead us. We need your help, God. We stumble, Lord. We make mistakes. But by your grace, may you just build us up into a beautiful community, an intercultural community that glorifies your name, Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we conclude our service this morning.
Trust, You are a light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing Jesus, our hope, living for all who will see. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe.
Jesus, hope for the nation.
Lord, we believe.
Woo. Amen. What a great way to end our series, a beautiful song. Well, just before I share the benediction with you, I do have a request, and there is a brother who has attended this church for several years. He was baptized here, and he is having a very difficult time, and he doesn't have a place to live, and he needs a place to live for a week or two to get back on his feet. He has some money for food, but he's asked me for help. And so I put that out to you as our church family, those who are here in the sanctuary, those of you watching online. If you feel the Lord's leading in this way and you want to find out more information about how you could help out our brother, then please come and talk to me after the service or give me a call, Pastor Darren at 780-919-5348. All right. Well, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all, Still Heights. Go in his blessing. Amen.